Over the Mall is brought to you by Soccer America. Soccer America, the soccer paper of record. Go to socceramerica.com and sign up for your subscription today. More information on all our sponsors at overtheball.com/sponsors.
Hey, this is Bob Lee, and you're listening to Over the Ball with Kevin Flynn, the world's game from an American perspective.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Over the Ball with Kevin Flynn and Dave Gallego. Big show today. Dave, this is your pull. You got DraftKings coming on, huh? I'm excited about this because I don't know the first thing about gambling. I don't know, I gamble in Vegas once in a while, but this sports betting thing is huge. It's absolutely huge, and it's growing leaps and bounds every year. Everybody's involved. So I'm glad. This should be interesting. It should be illuminating. We're going to talk to Johnny Avello. He works over at DraftKings, who's going to explain a lot of it to us. So I was a little bummed over the weekend, Davey. My Liverpool lost to hell of a nail biter to Manchester United. They're out of the FA Cup. But a lot of soccer coming up this week, huh?
A lot of soccer, especially in this side of the pond. I mean, you have the NWSL, the Women's League. They just started their 11th season. And then, of course, the CONCACAF Champions League. That's well underway. And of course, the MLS continues to plug along. So, yeah, a lot going on.
And the national team plays on Thursday against Jamaica. I get so confused. As long as I've been covering this game and been involved in this game, CONCACAF, Nations Cup, the Champions League, it's like alphabet soup sometimes, and you can't figure out what's what.
Oh yeah, there's this summer's Copa America. You have the U23s and the Olympic Games coming up. Just to add to the long list of soccer entities to watch.
I love to watch the Olympics just to see who the next stars are going to be, who can crack into the full national side. The under-20s looked really good in their last go-round. I remember that. So that's always fun. You can see diamonds in the rough there. And the level is, they've been getting better and better every year. So it's been fun to watch. And, you know, this is right around the time. These are the times. So Thursday, the United States plays Jamaica. And these are the games where guys that are on the periphery, guys just on the cusp, can really make an impact, and they can move up the roster, get themselves a starting position. So I'm looking forward to it. Now, are you a NWSL fan? You go to these games or what?
No, actually, I have not as of yet, but I'm going to just throw some statistics at you. A couple of things that have just happened just to show you the popularity of women's soccer in general. So as I alluded to, they just started their 11th season, and the Seattle Reign, they just sold for, or they're in the process of being sold for $58 million. I think the initial investment back in when the league started, I think it was like $3 or $4 million. So they're being sold for $58 million. The San Diego team, the San Diego Wave, they are being sold for $113 million.
Wow.
The team in Kansas City, they just built a soccer-specific stadium strictly for the NWSL team. So, and that was for about $120 million. So, again, the Women's League, it's really growing leaps and bounds, literally.
I tell you, this is really important for the women's game in this country. I mean, I think that the women's national team did themselves a huge disservice in the last go-round, the way they played public relations really poorly. But I say to everybody who talks about the men's and the women's game, I say, if you want to support the women, go to the games. That's the best way to do it. And a lot of sponsors have started to step up. And I think a lot of these owners are starting to see that this is really, not just potential, but potential that's being realized right now. So good news in soccer, because I tell you what, if they didn't pick up their game and these teams can't start to pay the money and get these sponsorships, we're going to fall behind in the women's game, especially.
No, you're right. And so to that point, so the regular season opener on Saturday, this past Saturday, between Portland and KC, that was the first women's National Women's Soccer League match broadcast on ABC. So the major networks are putting some emphasis behind it. And even overseas, I mean, you see Chelsea, they just beat Arsenal 3-1, and a club record 33,000 people were at Stamford Bridge. So, it's going up, not just in this country, but across the world. So, yeah, I just wanted to give props there, and it's definitely of relevance, especially because we have such a strong team in this country.
All right, so we're going to talk today to Johnny Avello. He's the director of race and sportsbook operations for DraftKings. Are you involved? I know you're a marketer yourself. Do you know a lot about this, or what are we going to learn from Johnny?
Yeah, so actually, I do know a lot about it, and it's fascinating because obviously soccer betting is involved, but then it's not just soccer; it's everything. It's cricket. You can even bet on tennis, and you can bet. What I wanted to talk to them was about all of the unorthodox bets. For example, there's something called a Chinese total. I don't know what that is. You can bet on corner kicks. So really, DraftKings has done a great job of expanding the options as far as gambling is concerned, sports betting. So I want to talk to them about all that and just really intrigued in general by what he has to say. He's been around for a while.
It's interesting. But one thing that struck me was the foreign players. I watched Atlanta. They were playing Atlanta last night, and Atlanta got blown out. But they had a couple of players, one player from Switzerland, I think, one from Czechoslovakia. And this is the thing with American sports. We've always been so sort of provincial in our thinking that you realize there's a huge world out there. And with basketball now, a lot of these, you know, basketball's a sport that travels really well, like soccer. And, you know, American athletes never had to compete with worldwide athletes. And in basketball, they're starting to do it because there were about four or five foreigners on that court last night. So what my point is with something like DraftKings, people all over the world play soccer. And I think when you don't think provincially about a sport, you think globally, like they do, people bet on soccer. So for them, it's a huge market with worldwide sports. And the you know, like you talk about the Asian, the cultural differences with gambling, how it's so involved in the Asian culture and the American culture now. Everybody's gambling, you know. And yeah. The Dartmouth team just tried to unionize at the NCAA. And I tell you, the NCAA, man, they've had it pretty easy for a long, long time, but they're suddenly being challenged. So, and rightly so, I think. And they've never given soccer their due. So I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah, well, I'm even less of a fan of the NCAA now with the NIL money and the debacle that's going on over there. Not that I'm against the student athletes making money. I totally get that, but it's just out of control. And as we alluded to last week, when you're driving out legends like Nick Saban from the game, that there's something really wrong because you're losing some good people.
In fact, Notre Dame says they won't do it. They won't allow players to be paid, or they're out. And they're a big dog in there. So I think that the money should be held maybe in an escrow account. I don't think these athletes should be able to have access to it until they graduate or until, you know, they're 2-3 years out of college, you know, to somehow use it as a carrot.
That's actually not a bad idea. I don't have the answers, but that certainly sounds like something that could be thrown in the ring. That sounds like a really good idea. I mean, you have student athletes making more money than their college coaches. Something wrong with that scenario.
Yeah, and then the Texas quarterback, the UT quarterback, he's a second string quarterback, and he's making $11 million a year or something, you know, just all his promotional stuff. Though, look, I am a fan of Charlie Baker, you know, being in Massachusetts quite a bit. I like this guy. I really do. And so hopefully he brings some sanity to the NCAA, tries to have, instead of being so pigheaded for all these years, that they start to say, okay, we have to come up with a model that works for the modern era. So good. So a lot of stuff. So why don't we take a break there, Dave? And when we come back, we get to talk to Johnny Avello, the director of race and sportsbook operations for DraftKings. All right, stick around, everybody. You're listening to OTB. All right, we're back on Over the Ball. Joining us now, he's the director of race and sportsbook operations for DraftKings, Johnny Avello. Johnny, welcome to the show, man. How you
doing? Welcome, Johnny.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be with you.
All right, so Johnny, Dave knows more about this than I do, but this has always fascinated me. It's, you know, explain to the novice what DraftKings is. That's my mother, I think. Hold on.
She wants to talk to Johnny. Johnny, who's going to win March Madness?
Yeah. Well, no, this is going to be a madness time for Johnny, I would imagine, March Madness. But explain it to the novice, Johnny, about basically what DraftKings is, how it works, and the type of things you can bet on, and then we'll move into soccer specifically.
DraftKings is a tech company to start with. Yep. Three guys started the company back in 2012, and it was in a basement of one of the gentlemen. And it was all about fantasy sports, fantasy betting. And the company did well through the years. And then when PASPA was overturned in 2018, the company dove into the sports book market. That was around July, August of 2018. One state, New Jersey, that was it. And so now we're in 27, or I believe, states, 27 or 28, and going full steam ahead, and things couldn't be better, and looking forward to being in every state or anybody that'll have us. You ask what kind of markets we have? Well, let's just start with a basic market. Let's start with a basic NFL football, which is a little bit different than the football we're going to speak of, but that's the primary betting event in the USA. And on a Sunday, we'll have every market you could possibly think of that a Super Bowl, that traditionally Super Bowl markets are. People, you say, you know, I can't wait to the Super Bowl because there's all those betting propositions out there. And we have those betting propositions on every single game in the NFL every single week. That's right. Just one sport. We do that for all the major sports. We offer so many. We offer Aussie football. We offer cricket. We offer table tennis, snooker,
darts.
So many other sports, but the point I'm making is that we have a full menu. And we also are an entertainment company, is the way I look at us too. We offer Academy Awards and Emmys and Grammys and all those award shows too.
It's really amazing. And by the way, with March Madness kicking into high gear, there's expected to be about $3 billion in legal bets on that, which makes our timing perfect to talk about soccer right as soon as March Madness is about to begin.
Actually,
we're good like that.
David, we just got to say thanks for Johnny to even coming on when we're getting ready to get ready for March Madness, because that's a huge time in their business. And Johnny, before you got on, Dave and I were talking about the sort of our game, the world football, makes a huge market for DraftKings, something like DraftKings, because, you know, people bet and watch soccer all over the world, and that's our game. And, you know, instead of thinking provincially, these people who want to place bets can think globally. How can someone get involved with DraftKings? Is it an application you download on your phone? Talk about that a little bit.
It is. It's an app that you download. Now, in certain jurisdictions, like I said, we're in 27 different states, or 27 or 28, and in different jurisdictions, you'll find different betting offerings, and that's because we have a huge slate menu that, like I mentioned, that was just a portion of it. But some states elect not to take the full menu, just some of it. So the states that we are in, you download the app, you fund it, and you're ready to bet. It's really that easy. Now, the app has a casino in it in some of the states where digital gaming is legal. Uh-huh. I think that's 5 states now. It also has the fantasy, which I mentioned earlier. Soon we have a DK Horse, which is actually our horse racing app. It's a separate app now, but that'll be integrated into the entire wallet soon. So now that'll also be in there. So what we're trying to develop here is just, a nonstop shopping gaming app where you don't need to go anywhere else. And to be honest with you guys, I've been around the business for quite a few years, and this is the finest app out there because it's so easy to navigate through, to find what you're looking for, and it just makes it user friendly.
Yeah, I do have to say your interface is incredibly easy to follow and use. It's interesting because you mentioned some states have different offerings. So for example, like in New Jersey, you can do casino games like roulette. And it's funny, you're a native New Yorker like myself, so you can appreciate this. As soon as you go over the state line, let's say you're going from Jersey into New York, the ability to gamble, to bet on roulette is immediately taken away. It's so funny how Big Brother is watching. As soon as you cross that state line, it knows, and it takes away that option.
It's all about geolocation, guys.
Oh, my God.
I mean, It wouldn't work if we didn't have good geolocation.
Oh, it's very precise. Like I say, Big Brother is watching. So you have been around for a long time, and you're actually a legend as far as sports betting is concerned. And I just saw your interview with Dan Patrick. That was great. But let me ask you, so over the years, I mean, obviously, other than being legal in more states and obviously much easier to access, how has sports betting changed over the years?
Right. The world of sports has changed a lot. It's, you know, it used to be in Nevada only. And, you know, now it's in, like I mentioned, in all these states, and Nevada can only do so much. And here we are doing, you know, this extensive menu of things. Yeah. Like all the offerings have changed. The way customers bet have changed. It's done a 180. Since I've been in the digital world, which is with DraftKings since it's 2018. And so, and it will continue to evolve and change. So, but right now we like where we are. The customers have a lot to do with what we do. They'll tell us they want something or they don't like something, and we make those changes accordingly.
You know, Johnny, let me ask you this. We're a world football show here, and it was been interesting because a lot of my friends who've classically bet on NFL, NBA, MLB, have started to call me asking for insights into the Premier League, MLS, about, you know, players and, you know, what's going on and injuries and how, you know, all the things that go into placing a bet on soccer. So talk about how you come up with the information, or how do you set the lines? How do you digest all that information to come up with, you know, with a line or all the different types of bets you can make within a particular game?
Yeah. Well, first of all, our most popular leagues in soccer are Premier League and Champions League. I can tell you that the World Cup, if you looked at our top 10 games bet of all time, you're going to find that they're World Cup games. They're either finals or, you know, round of 16, or they're games in the World Cup tournament besides the first round. Right. You know, Spain La Liga is a good right for us. Italian Serie A is good for us. So I think on our menu we have 70 different leagues to bet.
Wow.
Yeah. So soccer's been really good for us, and we have a team that's experts. They've been doing this their whole life. European guys. And how do they do it? Well, what it is each team has a power rating, just like they do in U.S. sports, and that we use that power rating to decipher which team is the better than the other and how much they're better by. Now, you talk about injuries, you talk about all the intangibles that go into it. We're scouring, guys. We're constantly scouring the internet and, you know, X and everything else to find information, just like the better is. At one point we used to get it maybe 5-6 years ago. There was a service that used to give us the injuries, and they were pretty good, but I still always thought that the players were getting them first. So now we rely on, we're internet based to try to find whatever we can find out, because as we all know, you know, a key injury in a game is so key.
And they hide it sometimes, you know.
Change the line. And so, you know, we're trying to get the information first that's important to us if we can. Sometimes we don't, but we really try hard to.
Yeah. So with soccer specifically, you can bet on, as you alluded to, you can bet on virtually any professional league. I mean, you'll see that the Swedish professional league is on there. I think the Norwegian league is on there. All the Asian leagues are on there. So, and in terms of times, because obviously everybody plays games that within their local time, which in the States could be super early in the morning. So there's always something accessible. I did want to ask you, what is the Chinese total that I see? That's an option when you bet on soccer. What the heck is the Chinese total?
Chinese total. I have to look and see where that is, guys.
I stumped you, Johnny. It has nothing to do with Asia either. It's a China. It says Chinese total. Then, of course, you can also bet total corner kicks.
Probably a little bit. Yeah, it's probably. I'll have to look that up, guys. The soccer just got me on that.
Avello, man, you stumped Johnny Avello, Dave. I love it.
Variation of an Asian, Andy.
Hey, Johnny, let me ask you this. Can someone come up with a bet that they want to make and present it to you guys, like saying the number of headers in a game or something like that? And can they approach you, or they reach out and say, can I make this bet?
Yes, they can. Here's how that process works. Someone will contact me and they'll say, you know, we'd like to see this particular bet, or like the, you know, chance of this player scoring in this game, whatever the bet might be. Yeah. And so then I'll relay it to the team. If I think it's worthwhile and I think maybe we missed something, I'll relay it to the team. And then the team, if they think it's something, you can request it. Sometimes it'll go up, sometimes it won't, depending on how much we already have up, how close we are to game time, some various factors. But we definitely listen.
That's definitely a micro question. Let me ask you a kind of a macro one here with soccer and MLS specifically, and more specifically with Lionel Messi. Have you been able to track the analytics about worldwide betting based on Messi's arrival in the States and in MLS?
Oh man, Messi's just been amazing. First of all, he's taken MLS to another level. And I can tell you, of all the selections of total player props, Messi himself, he probably writes about 7 to 8% of all the business on, you know, on a player total player prop. He's it's amazing. Now, when I first heard Messi was coming over, I thought it would be great for the league, but I really was not aware of the impact that he would make on the betting, and it's been substantial, guys. So he's a big deal.
They say that, you know, even not just betting, but they say even when you sign a Messi, or earlier it was Beckham, they make the money back almost immediately with the shirt sales globally, because people want that pink Miami shirt with Messi's name on it. You know, it creates other problems, Johnny, with, you know, when he's injured, like we were talking about injuries before with a player, it throws everything off when Messi doesn't play or he doesn't suit up. So there's so many considerations to make. There's so much to follow. But for us as soccer fans, you talk about how you have 70 different leagues. We try to keep up with most of the soccer things happening around the world, and it's just literally virtually impossible. So but we're all very excited for Messi to come here. So it's nice that it's impacted your business as well.
Yeah, you know, and he's made that team certainly – they're certainly the favorite, and they deserve to be the favorite.
Yeah.
But one thing you have to take into consideration is that Messi's not going to play every game. Suarez is not going to play every game.
No.
And so you're going to have to decide on whether – Does the regular season make a difference to those guys?
Right.
And then, you know, where will they be when the playoffs start? I would think by the time the dust clears, as long as the team stays fairly healthy, and they got some other players there that acquired.
Jordi Alba and a bunch of them, yeah.
Exactly. So it's an interesting team. You got to be careful. You got to know who's playing on a night-to-night basis. Otherwise, you know, you're not getting the full squad. So that's one of those things to certainly keep an eye on, and we will also as the season goes on.
Yeah.
You got a pair of 38-year-old legs there too, and I know his heart is in the right place, Messi. He's made all the right decisions. He loves the game. He loves coming in Pelé's shoes, and you know, to fill this next level for the game. But they've got to pace it because the man is older, and he never phones it in. So I hope they, you know, Miami didn't make the playoffs last year. So, you know, it looks like they probably will this year, but they gotta just parse out Messi just a little bit.
Argentina has two friendlies coming up, one in Philly, and he's not going to be, much to these promoters' chagrin, he's not going to be playing in either one. So like Johnny alluded to, there's so many things that you have to factor in. I mean, anything can happen. And then Johnny, I wanted to ask you the other day with MLS, they had obviously with the NFL, you have inclement weather all the time. It's very rare that you have snow with professional soccer. But the other day, Real Salt Lake played LA at home, and it was just coming down.
Yeah.
How does the weather impact the way you guys
welcome to America
come up with the line? Yeah.
Well, I have to tell you this, guys, that in-play soccer is a big part of, you know, the whole game. Sometimes that overshadows the pregame. So when you put, so in a game like that, you know, we have to pick that up. We have to pick what's going on very quickly. And so, you know, you got this in-game going on. We know it's going to be difficult. Traction's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to score. So, or would it be difficult to score? Maybe it would be easy to score. Sometimes we've noticed that in sports, especially an NFL game, that the receiver knows where he's going, but the defender doesn't. And so sometimes it makes it easier. So these are the things you have to – this is what the trading team – this is important that they pick up on these things early in the game on the in-game wagering and find out all the factors that they can. And, you know, we have a platform that tells us what the odds should be in in-game. Of course, you know, we feed it data. It feeds us out numbers. But the trader himself really has to use his knowledge and his gut and some other factors to override that sometimes. Sometimes that information is based on, taking over. It is based on overall data, but it doesn't see what's going on in this particular game. That's the case for all in-game stuff. In-game is not just grab a number that the system's telling us that it is, but it's also using your head and your gut and your feelings.
Yeah, yeah. So, Johnny, let me ask you, can you personally watch a game, any game, could you personally watch a game without thinking about the odds?
Yeah, how many computer screens are in Johnny's living room?
No, I really can't. It's
impossible.
Hard. You know, when I was down at Del Mar, the racetrack, a couple years ago, Bud Black was the manager of the San Diego Padres. And so somebody introduced me to him and he said to me, "Johnny, are you a fan of the Padres?" And these are the words I told him. And these are kind of the words that makes it hard to root for teams. I told him, "Bud, I'm a fan of whoever the house needs tonight."
That's a company man right there. That's a company man. Hey, Johnny, how did you start out? I mean, were you the kid rolling dice in the back of the Catholic school hallway or something? Were you
back in Poughkeepsie, New York, huh? Back in the nuns. Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I got thrown out of Catholic school in my very first year.
That boy.
I knew it. I was right behind you.
Yeah. So lucky me, right? I was betting with the bookie when I was 14. 15 years old, you know, betting like $30, $50 a game. I've been going to the racetrack since I was three, started to learn about the track when I was five. So I've been about gambling my whole life. Now, when as far as the table games are concerned, I actually learned how to deal in all management in New York City, all the table games and in management. And my goal was to enter that arena and stay in that, never thinking about, you know, how I could possibly enter the sports book area.
Sure.
So I came out to Vegas back in 79. I dealt all the games. And about 5 years later, I realized that there were a few sports books in town and they also had horse racing associated with them and that the table games was it was such a, you know, a black and white type of game. Yeah. In dice, you roll a six on your first roll, you need to roll another six before you roll a seven. Roulette, you know, you can bet all these different corners and areas or single numbers. 21, you had a hit on 16, stay on 17. I mean, all these rules, and there was no change in any of those rules. Where in sports betting, it's a very gray area. Do I make the line? And this is after I became, more of an odds maker. Do I make the line 7.5? Do I make the line 6.5? Do I move the line off of this gentleman's bet? So it's a more gray area and there's a lot of decisions to be made. And so that's why I migrated to that. I don't like anything that's, you don't use your head, you know, where you're just a robot. And that is not this game at all.
Let me ask you this, Johnny. What, in all your vast experience with so many permutations of gambling, what makes a good gambler? Do you go with your head? Do you go with your gut? You just spewed out a lot of numbers. Are you a numbers man? Is that really what it takes sometimes?
Well, I'm certainly a numbers guy, but for a good gambler, you're talking about gambler, not odds maker, right? for a good
gamble. I don't know what I'm talking about, Johnny. I'll speak to you. You know what you're talking about. That's why I'm asking.
I'll speak to both of those. To be a good gambler, you have to be disciplined. And you have to not bet every game, and you have to pick your spots. And some games are a couple units, some games are five units. So you're going to like some more than others. You have to stay with what works for you. There are bad times when things aren't going right, but you think you're doing all the right things. So you have to stay with what you've learned, your discipline. You need to stay with that. And it's kind of that way on the other side of the counter for me too. I've had times where we just had some rough patches where we just can't win. The players are beating us. And I go back and look and say, I question myself. I say, where are my odds wrong? What am I doing wrong? Am I putting up bad numbers? Am I putting up things I shouldn't be putting up? And sometimes I go back and check and everything seems to be okay. So I have to stay the course. And so it's for both sides. You go through some rough patches from time to time, regardless of what side of the counter you're on. Like I say, as long as you're doing the right thing, you're doing all the things that you've learned or trained yourself to do, everything will work out fine on both sides.
And then you have you have like the Chicago game the other day, Dave, where it was windy and it's the end of the game and the guy just boots the ball up in the air. The wind catches it, goes over the goalie's head in the closing seconds. I mean, how do you predict something like
that? In injury time. Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, so once again, people, we are talking with Johnny Avello over at DraftKings, and they are currently running a promotion for new customers. Bet $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets, and you can find DraftKings at DraftKings.com. Johnny, has anyone ever made such a large bet that it even made you nervous?
Yeah, the biggest bet I've taken was $3.75 million on the Super Bowl.
I thought that was the odds on my first marriage.
Kev, I took the under on that.
Did you?
You made some money.
Taking some pretty big ones through the years. And I don't really get nervous about them. I just know that there could be some liability. But DraftKings were so big now that, when we do take that type of a bet, $3 million or so, it goes into the pot. Does it affect the bottom line? It might, but a little bit. We just have so much volume being in so many different states and so many different customers that it's not like I'm riding the house is riding on that one bet. That no longer exists with our company.
Did he win? Did that guy win or lose?
He won that bet.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. And Johnny's still smiling. I love it. So it's all good.
Hey guys, you know what? I've been in it so long. I've seen the ups, I've seen the downs. You just ride it. You just ride it. Things go your way sometimes. Sometimes they don't. You talk about the ball goes up in the air and goes into the goal. We've had all that happen to us on every single sport. Crazy things happen at the end of the game in every sport in every way possible. And you just kind of laugh it off, guys. It just happens. It's things that happen in sports. It's things you couldn't handicap for. And you just live with it and move on.
So really quick, who's going to win? So now with March Madness, who's going to win? Who's your final four?
If you go to our website, you'll see who our final four are odds wise. That won't turn out that way, of course. There's going to be some surprises in the tournament, and I'm like you guys. I'm looking out to see who that surprise might be, or those two surprises might be. But this is a time of the year where I enjoy this tournament. You mentioned that it's a busy time for me. Actually, today will be the least busy time because on Sunday we put up all the numbers. We put up all the props on Monday, and Tuesday is kind of a day where everything's up now. Let's book game number one and two. So this is probably the most calm that we've been since the announcement of the field of 68.
Well, you know, Johnny, you were talking about the ups and downs, the craziness of sports betting. It's a lot like life. It's a metaphor for life. So it's the same thing. So I appreciate you coming on and explaining so much of this to us. It's fascinating. And as soccer fans, we're really excited that we're part of the package. We're part of the games and people can make these bets on all the leagues. They have 70, Johnny said. So Johnny Avello, director of race and sports book operations, a lifetime of experience you bring to this game and all the games that you work. Thank you for joining us on Over the Ball.
Thank you, Johnny.
You're welcome, guys. Thanks for having me on. Happy betting this week, whether it's soccer or it's March Madness.
Sounds good. Thanks, Johnny.
Bye-bye.
All right. That was great. Great get, Dave. I'm glad. You know, I'd heard about DraftKings, but I don't gamble. I don't bet that on anything, really. Sometimes when I'm in Vegas or Reno working, I will. But that was really fascinating. I mean, and you know, his approach, a lifetime of experience, and it's a job created for him. So good get.
Yeah, no, it's funny how when I inquired about whether or not he could watch a game without thinking about the odds. He probably goes out with his friends and he probably bets on, do you think the number of fries that we get are going to be over or under 100? He has to probably look at the odds of every single aspect of his life.
No. Dave, when he sits with his friends, he's probably going to say, yeah, what are the odds of this podcast idiot asking me for an inside bet information, you know, putting on it? I'll give a 5-1. I'll give a 5-1.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but... But if you go on it, there's something for everybody. I mean, you can bet on darts, you can bet on cricket, you can even bet on every single serve in a tennis match.
Stuff, yeah. And there's cultural differences too. I mean, it's amazing in all these sports. But look, like I said to Johnny, I'm just so happy soccer's part of the package because it's a big deal. And how about the World Cup is the most bet on sporting event in the world? And I think people don't realize that it's maybe 4 times the amount of viewing audience. The World Cup final, then the Super Bowl final. I think even more than that. So,
I think it's probably like 10 times, Kevin.
Yeah, it's in the billions. So I think 1.6 billion or something. But again, I'm not a numbers man and I pull those numbers out my butt. So, big game, you know, looking for the game Thursday night, US Jamaica.
Yep. The Reggae Boys.
The Reggae Boys, man. Playing at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. So, yeah, this is a big deal. A bunch of players, most of the players from Europe, they've come over. A couple of late additions. Brendan Aaronson had a great goal in Germany this past week. Got himself back on the roster. I love the way that kid plays. His energy, and he's positive, and a nice player to just, I don't know. He wins balls. He creates some havoc, and it was good to see him get a goal. I'm glad he's back in there. So
yeah, no, me too. It looks like Nottingham Forest, our two Americans with Nottingham Forest. Looks like that team is going in reverse.
Yeah. I mean, the Americans will be blamed just like with Leeds, but it's nice. Weston McKennie goes to Italy and does well. Pulisic doing really well, where he's playing
very well. Yeah. Very well.
Weston McKennie's like just a main cog in that team. And, you know, so many people gave him shit at Leeds, give him a hard time. And he's really, you know, come out looking great in Italy. I thought, you know, it was funny because they blamed the American players when that team got relegated, which is bullshit, really. So, but I'm looking forward to the game Thursday night against Jamaica. So, so good stuff. Good get today with DraftKings, Dave. So
the 13th ranked United States, by the way. Ranked number 13
in the world. Wow. Go figure, man. Lucky 13 for us. So, all right, everybody, that's all the time we have today on Over the Ball. For Dave Gallego, I'm Kevin Flynn, and we will talk to you next time on OTB. Go U.S. Men's National Team Thursday night against Jamaica. Check it out.
Have comments or questions? Give us a call or shoot us a text at 727-914-9998. 727-914-9998.